All right, Deep Diver, you ready for this? This one is going to be awesome, all about Exodus chapters 5 and 6.
Oh, yeah. These are the chapters that had me scratching my head a bit when I first read them.
Yeah, so many questions.
Yeah.
But luckily, we've got Dr. John Oswald to help us out here.
Yeah.
He says he gets questions about this section all the time.
It's one of those parts where, you know, it's like, wait a minute, what's really going on here?
Right. We're not just looking at what happens, but WHY. Like, what's the deal with Pharaoh being so stubborn?
Yeah, and what is God really doing in all of this? What's it say about both of them?
So many good questions.
It's like, is Pharaoh really just a straight-up bad guy? What's with the whole hardening of the heart thing?
Yeah.
And why are we suddenly getting all these genealogies in the middle of all the action?
Okay, so let's start with Pharaoh. I mean, he's usually portrayed as the villain, right? The bad guy.
Right, but Oswald, he kind of digs deeper. He talks about how Pharaoh was raised believing he was a god, basically.
Like, untouchable.
Yeah, and with no real laws holding him back, he could pretty much do whatever he wanted.
So kind of like a spoiled child who never had to face consequences.
Exactly. Oswald compares him to those students who never study, then try to cram for the final exam at the last minute.
Oof. I've been there. Not pretty.
Right. Their past choices, they basically box them in. It's not that they don't have choices anymore, but their freedom to actually do well is, well, pretty limited.
So is that what's going on with Pharaoh? Is he even free to make a different choice?
It's not about denying free will, but our habits and how we use power, those things really affect our choices, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Think about it in your own life.
Yeah.
How do the power dynamics in your job or in your relationships, how do those things shape the decisions you make?
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. That's a deep thought.
And with Pharaoh, he's just used to having absolute power. Nobody ever told him no.
So when God says, let my people go?
It's a huge she challenge to his entire way of thinking, his worldview.
And then there's that whole hardening of the heart thing, which is so confusing. Sometimes it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Sometimes it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes it just says his heart was hard.
So which is it?
Well, Oswald argues it's actually God's command itself that provokes Pharaoh's stubbornness. It forces him to face who he really is deep down.
Okay, so the command isn't making Pharaoh stubborn. It's like revealing what was already there.
Exactly, like shining a spotlight on something that was hidden in the shadows.
But then doesn't that raise some questions about fairness?
Mm-hmm.
Is God kind of manipulating Pharaoh?
Right, and this is where it gets tricky. Theologically, some might see it as predestination, like it was all decided beforehand. But Oswald, he seems to be saying that God is working within human will. God knows how Pharaoh's going to react, but he allows it to play out.
Because it serves a bigger purpose.
Right. And speaking of purpose, many people think the whole point of the Exodus is just like freedom, getting to the promised land.
Yeah, that's what I always thought.
But Oswald says, no, no, no. The real core purpose is worship.
Worship.
Yeah, and think about what that means for us, too. Are we humans meant for something more than just, you know, comfort and being free from bad stuff?
That's a good question. Like, are we actually made to worship?
Maybe we are. Maybe that's what gives us meaning, a connection to something bigger than ourselves.
It makes you wonder, like, are we focusing too much on personal freedom these days?
Possibly. Oswald also talks about this tricky question about whether Moses was being deceitful.
Oh, you mean when he tells Pharaoh, let my people go worship, but they're actually leaving for good?
Yeah. Is that sneaky or what?
I always thought so.
But Oswald says it's not deceptive. Why? Because truly knowing God through worship, that is the real goal. The promised land is secondary. It's like saying, let me go to the library to read this book, even though you might end up buying it and taking it home.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
The main point is the reading, not just where you do it.
Exactly. It's about honesty, about your real intentions.
Which brings us back to Pharaoh. I mean, that famous line of his, who is Yahweh? That really sets up the whole conflict, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just about letting some slaves go. It's a power struggle, a question of ultimate authority.
It's like, who are you to tell me what to do?
And what's crucial here is that those plagues, those aren't just random punishments God's throwing around. They're meant to reveal something.
To show who Yahweh really is.
Exactly. Each plague, it's like peeling back a layer of an onion, showing us more and more of God's power and character.
So then how do we come to really need to be something or someone more powerful than us?
That's a big question, isn't it?
It's not just about hearing about them. It's about experiencing their power firsthand.
And sometimes that experience Well, it can be tough. Just ask the Egyptians.
Or, you know, even Moses. Remember how he goes to this crisis of faith? The Israelites, they blame him for making things worse.
Right. I mean, who hasn't felt like sometimes their faith backfires on them? Like, God, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah. So Oswald, he asks this really hard question. Does God have the right to bring trouble into our lives if it ends up showing us his grace more clearly?
Wow. That's a tough one. Can we trust that God's good even when things are really hard?
Yeah, that's a thought to ponder. And then there's this other part that always confused me. That verse where God says he wasn't fully known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Yahweh.
Oh, yeah, that's a head-scratcher for sure. I mean, weren't they talking to God all the time?
That's what I thought.
Well, Oswald says there could be two ways to understand it. Maybe they didn't know the actual name Yahweh.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or maybe they knew the name, but they didn't fully grasp God's character, what it truly meant. Like, knowing a name isn't just knowing a label.
Right, it's about intimacy, really knowing someone deeply.
Exactly. It's about experiencing who God is, not just knowing facts about him. And then, right in the middle of all this drama, we get this genealogy of Levi.
Oh, yeah, that felt so random.
It does, doesn't it? Like, why interrupt the story for a family tree?
What?
Well, Oswald says it's there to emphasize that Moses and Aaron, they're legit. They're connected to the priesthood, which is going to be important for, you know, worship.
Oh, right, because that's the whole point of the Exodus, according to Oswald.
Exactly. This genealogy is setting the stage for how worship is going to be organized later on. It connects Moses and Aaron to the bigger story, going all the way back to the patriarchs.
And it shows how God often chooses really flawed people to do his work. I mean, Moses was a murderer, and Aaron built that golden calf.
Right. And speaking of flawed people, let's not forget about Moses' uncircumcised lips. What does that even mean?
Like a speech impediment.
Probably, yeah. Scholars, they debate the exact meaning, but it definitely means he had some trouble speaking.
And yet, God chose him to speak for him.
It's almost like God intentionally picks people who don't seem qualified, you know, so that his power really shines through.
That's amazing when you think about it. God doesn't care about fancy degrees or perfect resumes.
It's about the heart, the willingness to be used by him, even if we feel totally inadequate.
It's a powerful message, especially in our world, that's so focused on achievement and outward appearances. It's like, our weaknesses don't disqualify us from serving God.
Maybe they even make us more suitable.
Yeah, because when we're weak, then his strength can be seen even more clearly.
It ties back to that idea that knowing God isn't just about facts. It's about experiencing his character.
And those genealogies, they're not just boring lists of names. They're about connection.
They remind us we're part of a bigger story, a story that goes way back and continues to unfold today.
And that story, it's about God's faithfulness, his commitment to his people.
Even when they're stubborn and complain, just like the Israelites, and probably just like us sometimes, too.
Oh, absolutely. We're all part of this messy, beautiful story of faith and doubt.
But God weaves it all together. He doesn't give up on us, even when we mess up.
That's the ultimate message of Exodus, right? God's love is relentless. It never fails.
Even when we're at our worst, he's still working to draw us closer. And that's good news, isn't it?
Absolutely. So what does this all mean for us today as we go through our own Exodus moments?
Well, it makes us rethink our weaknesses. What if instead of seeing them as problems, we saw them as chances for God to work?
That's a whole new way of thinking.
Yeah.
Instead of hiding our flaws, what if we surrender them to God?
What if we let him use them? That takes a lot of trust, though.
It does. It means letting go of our pride, our fear, our need to be in control.
And that's where real freedom is found. When we surrender, we're free from trying to be perfect, from doing everything on our own.
And that's when we can really experience God's power.
Exactly. When we're empty, he fills us. When we're weak, he makes us strong.
Like that verse, my grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and it's a promise we can hold on to, especially when we feel lost and overwhelmed, like we're going through our own Exodus.
So our weaknesses, they're not liabilities. They can be assets.
Yeah. Chances for God to work in and through us.
Our uncircumcised lips, they can be used to share his grace. Our stumbles, they can become a testimony to his faithfulness.
And even our brokenness can become a way for his power to be seen.
That's powerful, especially in a world that's all about strength and success.
It reminds us that God's ways are different. He often uses the weak and the foolish to show up the wise and the strong.
And that's good news for all of us, right?
It means no matter who we are, what we've done, or what we're facing, God can use us. He can turn our weaknesses into strengths, our mess into beauty, and our failures into ways to show his glory.
And that's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? God's grace is for everyone, no matter what.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, right? God taking what we think are weaknesses and using them for good. It's like he's got a different definition of valuable than the rest of the world.
Totally. Think about Moses with his uncircumcised lips, still chosen to speak for God.
I know. It challenges everything we think we know about what makes someone qualified to serve.
It's not about being a smooth talker or super charismatic. It's about being willing, having a heart that's surrendered, ready to be used by God.
Yeah, no matter what we think our limitations are.
And that's where the true power is, I think. Admitting our weaknesses and letting God work through them. That's how we become like channels for his grace.
It's like that saying, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. I remember the first time I read about Moses' crisis of faith. I was like, dude, I feel you.
That feeling of doubt, like, God, are you sure this is right? Everything feels like it's falling apart.
Such a human reaction when things get tough, isn't it?
Totally. We question, we doubt, we wonder if God's really got control.
But that's where faith comes in, right? Mm. Trusting God's character, even when his plan doesn't make sense to us.
Like walking through a tunnel, pitch black, but believing there's got to be light at the other end.
And sometimes, those dark times, they're what make us appreciate the light even more.
Exactly. Oswald's question, you know, about whether God has the right to bring us trouble if it shows us more of his grace, that's one that makes you think.
It is. Makes you think about how you see God. Is he just a vending machine for blessings if we're good? Or is he more like a loving father who lets us go through tough stuff to shape us?
And maybe, just maybe, those tough times, our own little Exodus moments, that's where we see God's character most clearly.
It's like we got to go through the fire to really understand who he is. And speaking of fire, those genealogies.
Oh, yeah. Those, they're not just there to put us to sleep with all those names and dates. They're like anchors reminding us we're part of something way bigger. God's been faithful throughout history.
It connects us to this huge story, you know?
Yeah.
And it's still being written. With each of us in it. It kind of makes you feel small, but in a good way.
It does. Our choices, those Exodus moments, they all fit into God's plan somehow.
And that plan, it's bigger than just our little lives. It goes beyond time and space.
So we're not just living for ourselves. We're part of something huge. Okay, so we've talked about Pharaoh, Moses, God's power. But what's the takeaway for our listeners? What does this mean for them?
How do we apply these old stories to our lives today?
Well, think about the Israelites, always complaining in the desert. They were so focused on what was right in front of them, the discomfort, being scared of the unknown. They missed the big picture.
They forgot God was with them, guiding them, taking care of them.
So does that mean we just got to grin and bear it when things are tough, pretend everything's fine?
Definitely not.
It's not about pretending. It's about choosing to focus on God's faithfulness, even when we're struggling, remembering he sees the whole picture, even when we don't.
So it's less about being positive, more about being faithful, no matter what.
Exactly. Faith isn't ignoring the bad stuff. It's about believing God is good, that he's working things out, even when it hurts.
It's like trusting your GPS, even if it takes you on a bumpy dirt road because you believe it'll get you where you need to go.
Right. And those bumpy roads, those wilderness times, they might be exactly what we need to shape us, prepare us for good things ahead.
That's when we really learn to rely on God, when we feel his grace the most.
And that's where true closeness with God comes from, I think. Not the easy, predictable life, but the messy, challenging journey.
Like that quote, life is a journey, not a destination. Except here, the journey is what brings us closer to God.
And the closer we get to him, the more we see ourselves differently. Our weaknesses, those uncircumcised lips.
They look different in his light.
We realize he can use anything for his purpose. So what can we do to have that kind of faith, that willingness to let go of our weaknesses and give them to God?
Where do we even start?
Honesty. Being real with ourselves about our struggles, our doubts, all of it. You can't surrender what you're not willing to admit you have.
So no more pretending everything's perfect.
Exactly. Being genuine, that's key. When we're honest with ourselves and easy with God, that's when his grace can really work.
Okay, so we admit our weaknesses. Then what? How do we actually give them to God?
Yeah. It's not a one-time thing. It's daily. It's choosing to say, God, I can't do this alone. I need you. It's letting go of control, trusting he knows best.
Sounds like a lot of letting go.
Mm.
Letting go of pride, fear, wanting to be in charge.
It is. But that's where freedom is. When we surrender to God, we don't have to be perfect anymore. We don't have to carry it all.
And that freedom, that's when we really experience His power.
Yes. When we empty ourselves, He fills us up. Yeah. When we're weak, that's when He makes us strong.
Like that verse, "My grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." That's pretty mind-blowing.
It is a promise we can hold on to, especially when we're in those tough Exodus times when we feel lost.
So instead of seeing weakness as a bad thing, it's actually an opportunity.
Right. A chance for God to work.
Our uncircumcised lips can be used to share His grace. The times we mess up, those can show how faithful He is.
And even when we're broken, that can become a way for His power to be seen.
That's powerful, especially in a world that's obsessed with being strong and successful.
It's a reminder that God does things differently. He uses the weak to confound the strong. He chooses the foolish things to shame the wise.
That's good news for everyone.
It means that no matter who you are, what you've done, God can use you. He can take your weakness and make it strength, your mess, and make it beautiful, your failures, and use them to show His glory.
That's what's so amazing about the gospel, right?
Yeah.
Grace is for everyone.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about giving our weaknesses to God, but what about when our faith is shaky? Like Moses, when the Israelites were mad at him, maybe wondering if he messed up big time. How do we deal with those doubts?
Well, I think it's important to remember that doubt isn't always a bad thing. It can actually be part of faith.
Really?
Even the strongest believers, they have moments of doubt, of questioning. It's just part of being human.
So we're not supposed to try and get rid of doubt completely.
It's more about dealing with it in a healthy way. Being honest with God about our struggles, asking for His guidance, remembering how He's been faithful before.
Like trusting that He'll be faithful now and in the future. Exactly. And remember, you're not alone. So many people throughout history have wrestled with doubt and come out stronger in their faith because of it.
It helps to know we're not the first ones to go through this.
And we won't be the last. But God is big enough for all our doubts and questions. In fact, He wants us to come to Him with all of it, even the messy part.
So be real, be transparent, be authentic, no more pretending.
That's it. And when we bring our true selves to God, He meets us with grace. He guides us, corrects us, strengthens us. He helps us to see our weaknesses not as flaws, but as opportunities for His power to shine.
It's like that saying, God doesn't waste a hurt. He can use even our painful experiences for good.
Absolutely. That's why we can have hope, even when things are difficult. We can trust that God's working things out for us, even when we can't see it. He's using even our weaknesses to accomplish His plan and to bring us closer to Himself.
Well, Deep Diver, that was quite a journey. We dove deep into Pharaoh's heart, talked about some tough questions about God's control versus our choices, and saw how those little details, like the genealogies and Moses' uncircumcised lips, they actually mean a lot.
It's been insightful, hasn't it? And I hope it's given you even more questions to think about.
That's what a good deep dive does, right? Gets us curious, makes us question things, and inspires us to keep learning.
Exactly. That's what's so great about studying the Bible. It's alive. It speaks to us in new ways every time we read it.
It's like an onion with layers and layers of meaning to unpack.
The more we peel back those layers, the more we learn about God, ourselves, and the world around us.
So what's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this deep dive?
I hope they realize that God can use anyone, no matter their weaknesses or past mistakes. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for hearts that are willing, surrendered to Him, ready to be used even if they feel totally unqualified.
That's something we all need to hear, especially in a world that's always pushing us to be perfect and successful.
It is. It's a message of hope, of grace, of power. It reminds us that God's power is seen most clearly in our weakness, and He loves using our uncircumcised lips to do His work.
It's a beautiful paradox, isn't it? Our weakness becomes His strength. Our brokenness becomes His canvas. And our failures become the way He shows His glory.
It's the upside-down kingdom of God, where the first are last, the weak are made strong, and the humble are lifted up.
And it's a kingdom that's open to anyone who's willing to give their heart to the King. It's a beautiful thing, this upside-down kingdom. It makes you think, what uncircumcised lips am I hiding? What am I afraid to let God use?
It's easy to get stuck on what we think are our limits, right? Comparing ourselves to others, focusing on our flaws, thinking we're not good enough for God to use, not smart enough or talented enough or whatever.
Like we're trying to put God in a box, saying He can only do so much because of our own insecurities.
Yeah, but the truth is, our limitations don't limit God. He can take those uncircumcised lips and make Him speak His grace. He can use our brokenness, our mistakes, our past for his purpose and to bring us closer to him.
That's what makes it so freeing, knowing we don't have to be perfect for God to use us.
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off.
Totally. It's not about trying to earn God's love or prove ourselves to him. It's surrendering to his grace, knowing we need him, letting him work through us, mess and all.
It's like that saying, let go and let God. Easier said than done, though, right?
Oh, for sure. But when we really surrender to his will, that's when amazing things happen.
Remember those genealogies? They seemed so random at first.
Right, but they weren't just there to throw a bunch of names and dates at us.
They reminded us we're part of something much bigger, a story that's been going on for generations.
And that story, it's still being written. We're all part of it.
Makes you realize our lives, our choices, our own little Exodus moments, they all matter in God's big plan.
It gives our lives meaning that goes way beyond just us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Exodus 5 and 6, what's one last thought you want to leave our listeners with?
Embrace those uncircumcised lips, those imperfections, those weak spots. Don't hide them. Don't be ashamed. Give them to God. See what he can do.
I love that. Let him take what's broken and make it beautiful, what's weak and make it strong.
Let him take your mess and make it a masterpiece.
That's a powerful image.
Yeah.
God is the artist, the master craftsman, taking what we think is useless and making something amazing.
That's what he wants to do with us. He wants to take those uncircumcised lips and make them speak his grace. Our stumbles become a testimony to his faithfulness, and our brokenness, a way for his power to shine through.
Well, Dink Diver, there you have it. Our deep dive into Exodus 5 and 6 with Dr. John Oswald guiding us. We explored Pharaoh's heart, those tough questions about God's control and our choices, and those little details that turned out to mean a lot, like the genealogies and uncircumcised lips.
We wrestled with some tough stuff, challenged what we thought we knew, and hopefully you're feeling inspired to keep learning from the Bible.
Remember, this deep dive was made just for you, to make you curious, make you think, and help you apply these ancient truths to your life today.
What stood out to you? What challenged you? What new insights did you get? Think about those things. Let what we talked about shape your heart, your mind, and how you walk with God.
And if you're thirsty for more, keep exploring. There's a whole world of wisdom in the Bible just waiting to be discovered. Thanks for joining us on this journey.